Blog Talk Radio.
I'm psychic medium Drew Calley, and I'm here with evidential medium and spiritual intuitive Kim Griffin. And we welcome you to our new show, Speaking Spirit, which will air every Thursday evening at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time and is dedicated to all things spiritual. However, we wish to place an emphasis on evidential mediumship. Mediumship is the art of communicating with those in spirit to provide a recipient with evidence, information, and messages to provide you with peace, healing, and hope. A medium is a person who connects those in this world with those in the next. Kim and I will discuss various related topics to mediumship for the first portion of the show, and we'll be taking calls for live on-air mediumship readings in the latter portion. If you wish to connect with the loved one in spirit, please log into the chat room and provide your first name along with your area code. The call-in number is 929-477-2551, 929-477-2551. 477-2551. Kim Griffin can be found at kimgriffinmedium.com and at facebook.com/kimgriffinevidentialmedium. And I can be found at drewcalley.com and at facebook.com/psychicmediumdrewcalley. So now, Kim, I just wanted to welcome you to the show. How are you?
Good, Drew. And how are you?
Pretty good. Pretty good.
Good, good. So I'm just trying to keep dry down here in North Carolina. We have a...
Hey, you guys might get hammered, huh?
Yes, we may. We will get hammered. So, you know, I think we just need to try to stay inside and keep dry, and that's about it. But I think it's been downgraded, so that's good.
Good.
That's
yeah,
good.
Yeah, yeah.
Yes, yes. I can't get away from hurricanes. I have to leave the East Coast, I think. But you know what? If it's not hurricanes, it's tornadoes. If it's not that, it's earthquakes. So it's always something. You know?
Oh, yeah.
So, true.
Well, me moving upstate New York right now, it's like I'm so used to the Jersey weather. It's the 1st of October, and I woke up, and normally it's been, you know, if it's really cool in the morning, like in the 40s and 50s, midday it's like in the 70s. Today was the first day it stayed in, like, the lower 50s, and you could really feel winter. And up here, winter is, like, I call it Alaska, because it's just cold. So I feel for you, but you guys get really good weather most of the year, you know?
Well, yeah, I can take the average temp of 40 in the winter. So I can take that. And that's actually cold for down here. So, but I'm good with that. I'm good with that. So, Drew, I was mulling over some topics today about what we were going to discuss. And I have noticed over probably the past year or so, there's just been an influx of all these different shows. Not the medium shows. What I'm talking about is ghost hunters, the haunting, spirit possession. I think there's one show called Spirit Possession or something along that line. So I was thinking about that today. And what is your take about dark entities, attachments, stuck spirits? And even if you have viewed these shows, what is your feeling about that?
Sure. It's a really good topic, I think, because there's a lot of misinformation out there. To me, in my world, it just doesn't exist. And when I first had my awakening, or whatever you want to call it, I was curious, and I was scared of looking in that direction, but I needed to know, because I had all sorts of people telling me, you have holes in your aura, or you have an attachment, or excuse me, I gotta keep clearing my throat. I'm sorry. And that basically, I was so afraid that, and I was like doing all these protection things and all sorts of stuff, and that fear really got the best of me. And nothing that I can put my finger on ever, I mean, other than me being really afraid, ever really happened. And I just have a tough time. Because what I find is when someone believes in something like that, there's no convincing them. It's like a religion.
Right.
It's just a belief system. And it's like, even if, you know, I've been to house clearings before where I'll go in, someone will say, hey, can you come in and help us out? And I go in, and like there was one where somebody kept smelling a burning sensation, and it was like it kept moving. So I was on my way out to this place anyway, and it was in a different state. And I went out there, and basically I just picked up that it was somebody's husband. And as soon as that person was acknowledged, the burnt smell that kept moving around that was kind of freaking everyone out just never came. It never came back. It was like somebody needed to be acknowledged just for whatever reason, because the person had lost their husband not too long before. So,
right.
I've been to other house clearings where, like, someone would be like, you know, I feel like someone's watching me and stuff like that. So I don't even like calling them clearings. I'd rather call them blessings, where I'll go and I'll just put the owner at ease. And I remember when this first happened to me, my entire house used to be really cold because I guess all of a sudden I started feeling energy like I'd never have before. And because I was tuning into that awareness, it started creating all sorts of energy around me. So, I mean, I had things like, like pillows slightly moving, chairs slightly moving, and other people around me that weren't mediums could see it. So I called another medium, and again, this was early on, and she came to my house, and as soon as she walked in the door, she was like, did somebody pass away here? And I was like, no, but, you know, at the time I was married, my wife and I had lost a child. We had a stillbirth, but the baby had passed somewhat, you know, in the womb, in the house. And so she picked up on that, and this woman came highly recommended, and she was very good. And basically, throughout the reading, after the reading was done, which was very good, I said to her, I said, you know, do you feel anything in this house? Because upstairs, like, I don't want to go into my bedroom anymore. You know, it feels very cold to me, and there's just, like, I don't know what it is about. So she goes upstairs, and she looks around, and she just started talking to me. And as I got calm, like, I don't remember how long, let's say it took 7 minutes, as she's talking to me about energy and how it really emits from the human spirit. It's not necessarily an external spirit and all this stuff. She goes, do you feel that now that I got your awareness off the fear? And the whole house felt different. And I was like, wow. And we walked upstairs into my bedroom and everything was fine. And again, this was like, you know, 3 weeks into me having these mediumistic experiences. So I was so raw and so new at it that it really did freak me out, and I did feel like there was a presence there and all that kind of stuff. And there probably was, but it was loved ones. You know, when it comes to that kind of thing, my experience tells me the opposite of what my, you know, fears and my belief system had told me since I was brought up, that there's, if there's good, there's got to be evil and all this stuff. And, you know, I don't know. That's my experience with spirits and houses. Now, I do believe, and I think we're on the same page with this, that there can be a stain in an energy field or in an atmosphere. But I also believe that people are very psychic. And I think, like, there was somebody that sits in my meditation group that came in and said, you know, I went into, and she's very, very clairvoyant and very intuitive and sensitive. And she walked into this place and was like, I could feel that there was, I can't remember the exact pattern or description, but it was basically, in short, there was like some sort of family tragedy where like somebody had killed their kids, and she kept picking up these like really bad, toxic feelings, and the person afterwards went and looked it up, and there was something like that. Now, what I explained to her was, it wasn't like these kids lived a great life and then they had this horrible ending, so now they're doomed to repeat it until the end of time, or until they figure out that they don't have to. It was that she was psychically picking up on a dimension from the atmosphere because of the dramatic fashion that had happened. And because she's tuned in, and she was kind of going in, because people said they felt stuff in there, she was kind of going in with the intention, like, what can I pick up? So her awareness was open to that. But I don't believe that people get stuck, like, if people see ghosts or things on top of stairs at the same time every night. To me, it's a memory, a living conscious memory pattern. So there is consciousness involved, but it's not the soul. It's like it's like a memory from the soul, because it, you know, for whatever reason is repeating itself or things like that. But again, it can be very murky water when you try to explain it to people that aren't that familiar with it. And I think, you know, people want it to be like when I see spirits, it's not like you and me sitting here having a conversation, although it is, but it's not literally like that. They're in a different dimension. It's an energy. So it's not it's not like the physical plane. And I think people try to have an answer and put it in a pretty box with a bow on it. I go, this is what it is. And all these shows, the ones that I've seen, where, like, I guess a couple of years ago, there was a lot of shows on that I would watch on Discovery and Psychic Network, on, that would be a cool network, on Sci-Fi Channel. And they were, like, you know, always going into house hunters or ghost hunters, things like that, and they would go into the house or these jails, and they would see an orb, they would hear a door shut, they would get a voice on an EVP that you really couldn't make out, but it could kind of sound like something scary. But they were so dramatic. It's just really good TV. And why is it that the ball of light in the corner that they got, or the ball of light in the graveyard, has to be the woman that was down the street that murdered 50 people 20 years ago? Why is that one white orb have to be that person? You know, like, they just really attach such a story to it that it makes it, in my mind, so ridiculous. Like, I used to be afraid that if I opened up to the good, then I was going to be opening up to the bad and all this stuff. And I don't want to say it's nonsense in a condescending way, but it's nonsense in a realistic way. Like, when I look at it, like, if I had to worry, Simon James said something to me, he said something in one of the courses I was on. He was like, look, I wouldn't work for a world, a spirit world, where I had to worry that I was in harm's way or I was in danger. Would you? And I was like, you know, that really made me think, like, I just can't help but think and know that there's so many spirit beings looking out after us. We don't have to worry so much. Now, psychologically, can I cut cords? Can I put roots into the ground and ground myself? Can I surround myself with white light to make me feel better? Sure. Does it change my work field? Maybe. But does it keep away something bad? I think the fear in that comes way back from religion and people being superstitious and controlling people. If you do this, then you won't have to worry about the boogeyman at night. So, I'm not saying, like, you know, even my early learning where I needed everything scientific or evidence, and this poltergeist studies around children in puberty, the kinetic and psychic energy that happened around those individuals always happened around children in puberty, and the phenomena always happened around them. It wasn't some external force. It was the child going through hormonal changes and all this psychic awakening energy in them, and they would get freaked out by it, and the more physical phenomena that would start happening, the more fearful they would get, the more it would happen. So it was like this never-ending pattern. So those are like, just to cover, like, the blanket a bunch. That's my experience with this stuff. And I've had people come to me where they will say, there was one woman who said, you know, there was a psychic in Las Vegas that she went to like a year ago. She came into my office and said, she said my mom couldn't cross over into the light. She got stuck. Mm. And now she's attached in my aura as a dark spirit. Now, that's so sad. And I was like, I felt so bad for this young woman. And I was like, look, I'm like, I don't see or feel anything in your aura that is negative. What I feel is that that she wasn't in a good place emotionally. So that emotional attachment to the past and to the loss of her mother was really what was there. Not her actual soul of her mother following around, haunting her. That's crazy. So to me, and to me, it was like, you know, I've never heard of someone having a near-death experience and not wanting to go into the light until they're reminded of their family or something they have to come back for. So I just, and I mean, is it possible? Maybe, but my experience tells me otherwise. It would seem unlikely that a human medium would need to cross someone over into the light. And I'm not saying that it can't be a very real experience for some people, because maybe we're on this earth to have our own experiences our own way. But I just find it, I do feel like you do have to be careful what you look for. Because, you know, where are the shows like Chasing Angels? It's all about, like, this fearful craziness, and you have to be scared of the boogeyman. But it's just showmanship, and it's TV to me. I mean, that's really a lot of it in a nutshell. Because the whole attachment thing drives me bonkers. Because, you know, I was doing a demonstration of evidential medium, basically mediumship, a group session with a couple other mediums last December, and there was a local shop that wouldn't advertise because she was like, well, or he, I'm not sure if it was a he or she, if you open up that kind of forum, how do you only the adept can stop the negative astral entities from entering into all those people in the audience. And it was just like, I'm like, where do you live? Like, how I couldn't live where I had to walk on eggshells. You know, like, it's crazy. Mm-hmm. I mean, is there something to surrounding yourself with light and trying to be a positive, powerful presence? Sure, because we're magnetic energy. We have all sorts of energy, and so are other people. But I would say the big thing you have to worry about is other people and our minds and our emotions as opposed to external forces. That's just my take in a nutshell.
Well, very good. Wow. Yeah. Well,
but you and I have talked about this, and we're pretty much on the same page, I would imagine.
This.
But I know you have some real strong feelings about it too.
I have very strong feelings about it, and but I don't want to seem condescending to anybody, and I don't want to say that their beliefs are wrong. I'm not saying that they're wrong. I'm just saying that we all have a right to our own belief system, and my belief system is this. That the shows that are out there they perpetuate the fear of the idea of dark energies, you know, of evil entities, of stuck spirits. They can't move on because they were, you know, murdered and you know, whatever else happened, or she was an abused woman and she's angry now because her husband had murdered her. And if you believe, you know, of dark energies. I mean, I'm going to do the same thing when people say to me, well, if you believe in light, then you believe in dark. Well, if you believe in dark, then you believe in light. And if that is the case, as we have been taught, you know, this is an intelligence that we work with. Mediumship, spirit is an intelligence, a higher intelligence that we work with. And and saying that, you know, we are working with the energy of God, source, whatever you want to call that. And why and in God's name would he allow a spirit that has been tormented on the earth plane to be tormented in another dimension? You know, it doesn't make any sense to me. There's no intelligence behind that. You know, we've talked about that before, you know. And so when I think that people are feeling that energy, the same thing that you had said, you know, it's about the recording of what happened, the stain of the atmosphere, you know. And, you know, it's an imprint of what happened, the residue of energy. And I can't say that enough. And people will poo-poo it like, yeah. But the thing is, you know, we create, you know, when we go into a place and we feel that yucky energy or whatever, you know, we create our own, you know, I don't, figuratively speaking, demons. You know, we don't give ourselves enough credit for the human mind, and it's a manifestation depending on what is going on in our lives at that moment. So the human mind has a great way of co-creating an event in our subconscious, bringing it forth through our conscious mind as a negative energy. So it's basically, for me, it's passing the buck rather than, you know, doing the moral inventory and taking responsibility of what is going on in our lives. You know, I mean, if we have a rotten marriage or a, you know, a physically abusive marriage, I'm not saying that that person's not taking responsibility for it, but they're not really looking into what's going on with their lives when they're feeling that energy. Like you said, you're feeling your own energy is what's going on. And so if you have those fears already in an older place and things are happening or whatever, that I believe, again, it's the manifestation of the energy. And I have actually a good example of that. And I probably told you this before, but I'm going to tell it to the audience. When I was between the ages of 6 years old and 14 years old, I had activity underneath my bed. And I had activity in the bedroom closet. So I thought it was very real to me. you know, because this went on for a very, very long time. And it was scary. It would happen in twilight. I could feel pressure, you know, like on my chest sometimes. The reality of the situation is this. I was raised by a very active alcoholic. He left, my father left when I was at the age of 14. All of a sudden, everything stopped. I was talking to somebody, and they said, oh, he's the one that brought the dark energy in because of his alcoholism. No. No. You know, my father had a lot of problems, but, you know, being possessed wasn't one of them. And maybe possessed by alcohol, but not demonic, you know. But what I believe it was, in my childlike mind, I did not know how to express my anger and my fear. And so the way that I had done this, the way to articulate it, because the human mind has a fantastic way of helping us deal with our tragedies in our life or, sure. You know, or obstacles in our lives. So I believe my six-year-old self manifested the fear in my dream state, or in my twilight state, you know, because I could not express that fear of what was going on in the home. And I didn't realize that until maybe years later, you know, when I looked back on it, I went, oh, now I get it. Yeah, there was nothing there, you know. It was me, because I didn't know how to express myself. I did not know how to articulate that. And we don't give ourselves enough credit about the energy that we bring into the room. You know, you've heard the expression 100 times. We are responsible about the energy that we bring into the room. And the energy is real. And it is, you know, it is pliable and everything else. So we really have to, you know, we have to look at that. Now, I'm not saying that spirit can't be in a place, but I think what happens is if we are not really exposed to this or haven't really, I don't want to say do a research or we can misinterpret what it is. You know, we can easily misinterpret what spirit is. Another example, I was talking to a girl, and she had told me, who was a medium, and I saw her in a workshop, and we were talking about this, and she had said that her daughter had woken up and saw a hooded figure at the end of the bed, and it scared her, you know, she thought it was evil, you know, and sure, you know, you see a hooded figure at the end of your bed, you're going to think it's evil. But what had happened was, a short time after that, they went into a store, and she saw a statue exactly like what she saw at the end at the end of her bed. So she said to her mother, "That's what I saw," and it happened to be it was some type of Indian spirit guardian of children. Isn't that wonderful? So. Again, that's a misinterpretation. You know, when she saw that hooded figure and just all of a sudden went there, they went, "Oh my God, it's evil." And that's easy to do. But, you know, we also have to sit back and say, okay, you know. Now, that's a different situation because we're talking about somebody that was probably 12 or 13 years old at the time. But now we're adults, and now we have different sources, resources that we can really look into, you know, and that we can really, really research and not go right there. And there's also another thing, too. You will hear people talk about, and I just found this out yesterday. And it is one of the girls in my group online had actually researched it. And I was saying, well, how about the markings? How about the markings on people? You hear all about the scratches. You know, and even some of them, they'll show you on film, you know, here's the scratches. Now you could say that somebody just did that or whatever, but there has been documents on that. What that actually is, I'm trying to look up the word right now. It is called dermographitis. It's called skin writing. And what it is, it's a type of hive that can also be caused by the same stimuli that creates a hive reaction that is due from stress-related incident. And it looks scratch-like. Instead of having like raised circular hives, these particular hives, they look like scratch lines. They come in linear form, so they're like lines, which they look like scratch marks.
Sure.
You know, like somebody scratched you, but it's actually just the form of the hive itself. So it's, again, it's caused by stress or allergy. So now you're in a spooky kind of house and you're feeling all the bad energy and you're getting all stressed out and anxiety and, oh my God, I got scratches on me. Well, you know, I'm not saying positively, but that's something to really kind of think about and keep in the back of your mind. So, yeah,
no, I agree
with
you.
On for a very long time about this.
You made some really good points, too. And I think overall, my biggest thing is God is everything or God is nothing. You can't have it both ways. You can't say, well, God created universes and life and all this stuff, but there's some, you know, bad child who now rules the earth. It's just such a big fairy tale. And I just, and I'm sorry, but that's just how I feel. And like someone had asked in the chat room something about possession. To me, like when I studied trance mediumship, where you allow a spirit to blend with you, my mm-hmm. spirit is in me. There's nobody moving my spirit out or taking my spirit over. I'm allowing that to happen consciously and subconsciously for a period of time with training. And it's a very loving thing. Even like, mm-hmm. like, so for instance, like the God is everything, God is nothing. So it's either that God is everything and God, and everything is good, or really God doesn't exist and you have to worry about all these evil forces. It can't be both. It doesn't
right.
make any sense to me. And for me, like when it comes to possession and things like that, like there was one young girl who came to me about 2 years ago with her family, and they were from a different country. They were very, very religious. And even the husband was giving me these looks where I kind of felt like, so I held him afterwards. I said, look, every time your daughter tells me this whole story about this man sitting on the side of my bed, he's punching me in the face, blah, blah, blah. Then she, when I would go back and ask her a couple of questions on her story to see if she could stick to the same, she could never stick to the same story. It always changed. It was like, well, you know, this guy was driving, because I'd be like, well, how did he die? And she'd be like, well, because she had answers for everything. Well, he was driving down the street, and then an Indian chased him down with a bow and arrow, and then his horse blew up. Like, it just wouldn't make sense. And even the father started becoming embarrassed, and the mom wanted to put her on YouTube, and she thought she was like the next big medium, and this girl was like 9 years old. So anyway, so I basically, you know, calmed the girl down. I didn't feel anything was wrong with her. I thought she was getting a lot of attention from her mom. So the dad, they came back another time. But before they left this time, I talked to the father. I said, look, I'm just going to be brutally honest with you. I don't feel that anything's going on. I think that she needs to stay in therapy, and she needs to stop getting attention from your wife. And I said, I'm not trying to cause any kind of rift, but I'm looking out for the little girl. And if she keeps getting this type of attention, because now the teachers were thinking something's wrong with her, and she keeps saying, well, this guy's distracting me in class. It became the excuse for everything. And she really believed it. She really was, or, you know, part of it. But the more I'd question her, the looks I would get, she'd be like, you know, like really, really ticked, because everybody else was just taking her at the face of it. So basically, in short, he ended up telling me a story about how his wife was also becoming possessed on weekends when she was drinking. And it was only when she was drinking. So I'm like, you sure she's not just a drunk idiot? No, she's possessed, blah, blah, blah. So I'm like, look, so what happened? He's like, oh, we've poured holy water on her, and she freaked out and like broke a lamp and all this stuff. And she went into the whole thing. So I said, look, next time, don't tell her, dip your hands in the holy water. Don't tell her that you have holy water on your hands. Put your hands on her. See if she reacts. Then after that, go over to her and say, I'm putting holy water on you now, and watch how different she reacts. And then you could see the charade. And he did it. And he just wrote me a quick text, said, you were right. Thank you. And it was, I felt like, okay, because like if I'm wrong, then please tell me, prove me wrong. But the whole process of mediumship for us is evidence. It's evidential mediumship. And archetypes, like even the original devil with the horns, comes from religions at the time being against paganism and naked women dancing in the moonlight with goats. And like, you know, there's so it became a masculine driven deity that they were, you know, basically like God with certain religions. And the evil face was the thing with the horns. So if you really look into the roots of everything and get through all the smoke and mirrors, it's just a lot of it's superstition. And like, again, unless I experienced mediumship, I don't know that I would believe it. And I did experience it before I was actually practicing mediumship with John Edward and other people, but particularly with him, it was really, really I really felt that. I just think, again, God is everything or God is nothing. To me, we're here for a really good purpose. There's nothing to be afraid of. And if you're really afraid of something, what are we supposed to do? We're supposed to face the fear and walk through it. And that's just, you know, my opinion comes, it always comes back to that for me.
Well, you know, one of my friends, Pam, had said, I really think she said this really great, you know. She said, spirit is pure energy. It's not physical. A physical being can be trapped, but energy cannot be trapped. Energy is free to go where it may, you know. So,
and it's constantly evolving, yep.
Exactly. So, you know, so we the problem is, and another point you made, we try to perceive that spirit has the physical mind still. It doesn't have the physical body, so it wouldn't have the physical mind because it is free of that. It is free of the things that weigh us down with our physical body and our physical mind. And part of the physical mind is mental illness. You know, or a chemical imbalance, or, you know, sociopaths, let's say, you know, something that's really evil, you know. That is the physical mind, you know, an alcoholic, you know. Again, that is the disease of the person in the physical realm. Once they shed this body, they're in the spiritual realm. There is no physical body, no physical mind, but yet they do, you know, have, I believe that they impress in who they are, you know, and their spirit still resonates who they were on the earth plane, but I don't think they're walking around because, you know, they're trapped. But
well, that would be so weird.
I
mean, don't you
view.
Think that the universe is so vast that spirit beings have so much more to do than to, like, walk around the earth and go, woe's me. I want to be back where I mean, it just doesn't add up for me. With all the beauty of life and the constant evolution of energy and of just everything we do has to keep moving. It has to. There's nothing that stands still. There's nothing that stays the same. That's just not living. You know, so I just find it difficult. I just feel like the whole soul progression thing, that the physical embodiment on this planet is part of that. Is it the beginning? Is it the end? I don't know. I know that it's part of it. I know that there's so much more. And I feel like we're only supposed to know what we're supposed to know so that we can, you know, find our way through it and deal with it on an emotional level, on a mental level. And I love what you said about the spirit, the physical mind, because the physical mind is trained, the brain is trained with behavior patterns, people that we're around, the environment we're in, belief systems that we're introduced to at a young age that you don't even know how you're wired because it's that deep on a cellular level. I can't even say that. So I find the spiritual mind is our higher self or our soul connection. And the soul isn't like one little bitty white dot that's, you know, that's only like, I just feel like we are always connected to something so much greater that we can't really understand it. And they say that, you know, the soul has as many faces as a diamond. So who really knows? And how many levels and all that? I don't know. But the more stuff I see about all this fear-based stuff, like, it's just silly to me. Like, why does the spirit have to be all crazy and scary and have their hair down and only show their face and they look like they're a dead body floating around? Like, why would spirit have to do that? Like, it just doesn't make sense to me. You know, like, why do they have to look like Freddy Krueger?
Right. Why don't we just say that The Walking Dead is real? Like, it's like the show The Walking Dead, you know? I mean, basically, you know, I feel like that's what it's going to come to, you know, the zombie apocalypse.
Hey, there's some people still waiting
know?
For the zombie apocalypse, so, you know.
Hey, that's a really great show. That's one of my favorite shows. But,
but I think it's important to have these conversations because I know a lot of people that are really good at what they do psychically or intuitively or mediumistically or even healers. But I also think that it's a really big moneymaker for a lot of people. If I told you every time you came in, oh, you have this attachment, we got to remove this attachment.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, if you come to me 6 times, you know, in a row, we can cross over your mom into the next realm. And I just feel like our power is really to connect with the higher power of spirit in order to help another. It's not to, you know, play in between dimensions and pretend that we know that this level is astral, this is the emotional, this is this, this is that. We don't really know that for sure. we're only showed tidbits, and you'll get people that are like, no, this is exactly, show me, prove it to me.
Right.
You can't.
Right.
But I know from getting readings from you that you could prove to me that you're connecting with my mom. So, that's what it is to me. It comes down to, do I believe in past lives? Sure. But how do we know they're not simultaneous lives? Because the soul is that big. Time is not linear in all aspects except here on Earth. But how do we prove that? I don't know. Do themes exist for past lives? Sure. I've picked up a little bit on that for certain people in certain sessions. But if I go to 5 different people, they will give me 5 different past life readings, but they may have 5 of the same theme. So it's all an expression of us. And as you and I always say, it's all an expression for us really seeking something greater than ourselves, like God. So I just find it so funny that people actually, I think we don't realize how much we love the fear. And the excitement.
Oh, we're addicted.
But to believe it, we're a TV nation. It's crazy.
Right. I know. Well, I have an experience where that happened to me. This was years ago, and I was at a flea market. And there was a little lady in a tent, and so I'm like, oh, what the heck? So I go and I get my cards read, and she told me that my ex-husband's wife put a curse on me in a dark entity, and listen, whatever problems I had with my ex-husband's wife, I don't think she did that. So I'm just a little kind of looking at the lady, like kind of cockeyed, and she says, well, for $200, what I can do for you is I can remove the attachment from you, and I will pray every night for you for 2 weeks. And I looked at her and I said, how about this? How about I pray to God? Do you think that will work? And she was like, well, I guess it will. I'm like, well, there you go. And I got up. I paid my $5, $10, whatever I owed her. And I got up and I left. It's people.
Well, it's funny. It's like, Carolyn Mace said it best. She was like, why do I have to go to somebody to connect with Archangel Michael and pay them $150 for them to channel Archangel Michael? Why doesn't he just come to me? I do find that funny. It's like what somebody gets from someone good in a reading is stuff that they need. There's something that really resonates with them, hope, some healing, some insight, maybe connect with some loved ones on the other side, maybe get some clarity on some questions, maybe start looking inward a little bit more instead of worrying about controlling the outcomes of the future, that kind of thing. That's a good reading to me. This stuff where I can tell you that, you were in Atlantis and you were a princess. And, well, where are the waiters? Where are the people that washed the king's feet? How come you don't remember they're not important? No, it's because we're such egotistical beings. We can't help it. It's what our identity is attached to is our ego. So there's a good part and a bad part. And I think the bad part is that we want to believe we're more important than we are. We are all just grains of sand on the beach. And that is that. We are, but everyone wants to be the sandcastle.
Yes, we do.
We can't be. And I just think it's so important that we just trust in the process. And I always go back to, who's been murdered or who's died from, some negative entity? And nobody can ever say, you never know. That's what cancer is and all. I don't know. I think we do a lot more damage to ourselves just as people with our minds and with the way society is today nowadays. Much more than these and I always think of that we're vibrational beings and spirit, and our spirit is a vibrational energy. So, is there lower vibrations, higher vibrations? Sure. But the thing is, I don't know. I just think everything that is external in my life is somewhat coming from an internalized place. So if a lot of bad things are happening in my life, maybe I need to flip the switch and look inside and go, why am I getting all this stuff? What is it? What is the universe trying to mirror to me in order for me to learn something? Because there's some days that I'll notice conversations that I would never notice. And it seems to be a theme that I need to look at. And other days I'll have somebody come to me for a reading. And, through that reading, afterwards, I'm like, wow, that really opened me up to look at something within me. So I feel like it's the same thing with just life in general. And I feel like there's too much emphasis placed on it's everything out here is affecting me in here, when I feel like it's the reversed. Maybe these negative spirits allegedly that are out there don't come around me because I'm not afraid of them. So why doesn't everyone just not be afraid of them? You know, so maybe that's it. I don't know, you know, but I do find it fascinating. The human psyche, like, wants to attach an archetype, whether we know we're doing it or not. So we want to have, like, the evil, dark being and the temptress and the and all this stuff. And it's very fantastical and it's you know, it's interesting and imaginative. But when it comes down to it, why can't it be on the good side? Like, you know, is there really a battle going on? We're caught in between. Like, I just can't believe that. There's way too much more important stuff at stake than some dimensional battle over the wills and lives of human beings. You know, this is a universe that we haven't even explored. You know, I just feel like there's so much more out there than there isn't. You know, and it's funny. It's like someone said to me once, Drew, don't you think that the universe, if there was no life on another planet or there were no other realms and no other existences, you know, wouldn't it be a big waste of space? I mean, that always made me think, yeah, you know, we're not that.
Right.
I mean, I can't say we're not. It's not that we're not that important, but we're not more important than one another. And there's not somebody out to get us. I feel like, you know, maybe we're nudged in certain directions. Maybe angels can get, you know, tough with us. And be like, and push us in a direction and, you know, get us sick so that now we have to, you know, change something in our lives and start taking care of ourselves. Or, you know, I mean, who knows? But I just don't believe that there's the, you know, the evil beings out there we have to worry about. Okay. I just got, yeah. Wow. We got some calls. I'm sorry I went on. Yeah.
That's okay. That's all right.
Love it.
Okay. Well, that was a good conversation. I think it needed to be conversed. So there you go. So our first caller is from area code, and we're saying the area code so you know that we are going to be picking up your phone call. So our first caller is from area code 484. Hello, caller. Welcome to Speaking Spirit. What is your name?
Hi, my name is Sonia. Thanks for picking my call.
Hi, Sonia.
Hey, Sonia. How are you?
Hi. I'm doing good. How about yourself?
Good. So are you looking to connect with someone?
I mean, it's possible, but I had a question if I can ask.
I think we're doing mediumship calls. Right, Kim?
Oh, okay. I didn't know. I'm sorry.
That's quite all right, Sonia.
Sure.
You could probably call back next week and we'll see if we can connect to one of your spirits.
Thank you.
Thank you. Okay. Sorry about that,
as soon as
folks,
you take the
but we are
the
just taking our concentration is mediumship, so that's what we're concentrating on. So our next caller is from area code 813.
Hello.
Hi, how are you? Welcome to Speaking Spirit.
I'm good. How are you?
Good, thank you.
My name is Nicole.
Okay.
Hey, Nicole, who would you like to connect with?
Anybody you can come up with. Anybody
okay.
Who comes through. That'd be great.
Kim, can I go on this?
Sure.
All right. Nicole, do you understand a male in their 50s? And I don't know if this is Dad, but I need to go to a male in the 50s, and I feel like, is Dad in spirit?
No, Dad's still alive.
Okay. So I just have a man here in, I want to say, the upper 50s, and I need to go, there's definitely heart failure or heart attack. But I feel like there was some sort of, I don't know if it was a sickness or something that led to him, his physical being, I feel like this was a working man, and I feel like he worked very hard, and I feel like he just was sick on and off. And I feel like he's related to you, so I don't know if he's uncle. Do you understand this?
I had an uncle that died from a heart attack at 39, not in the 50s.
39, okay.
Yeah.
All right, I don't know. Let me just keep working with this. Do you understand that he was a working man? Like, I don't know if he wore a uniform, but I keep seeing a hat on him, but he keeps showing me that he worked with his hands in some capacity. Do you understand that?
When I was little, before I was even born, he was in the Navy. But that, if my, like I said, my uncle died when he was like 39 in a heart attack.
Okay. And do you understand the connection to the name John?
That's my ex-fiance.
Okay. Hold on 1 second. But are you already engaged to someone else, or do you have a are you married?
I'm married, yes.
Okay. Only because you show me two rings, so
oh,
that either
I think
means
I know
that somebody
what you're
was married.
About. I
you
think
understand
I,
that?
I think I, yeah, I think I know what you're talking about. My father-in-law had a heart problem. He was like close to the 60s or 50s or something like that.
Okay, so that would make sense. And he passed, correct?
Yes.
Okay. And do you understand he was a very strong individual? I don't know if it's verbally, but I feel a very strong presence with him.
I've never met him. He died before I met my husband,
okay,
and my mother-in-law.
Fair enough. And he's the one connected to John, correct? Or to your husband now?
Yeah, my husband now, Mike.
Okay. Got it. It's interesting. I just feel like... Now, is there a family business?
No, not that I'm aware of. Nope.
Huh. He just keeps making me feel a connection between him and his son, like they do the same thing or that they're the same way. Do you understand that?
Yes, they are the same way. That's what I was told by other people.
Okay. Perfect. And there's a stubbornness there. Understood?
Yes.
Yeah. Like he's almost making it in a funny way, but he's making me feel like that he's tough. Do you understand that? Mm-hmm. And I mean, like, you wouldn't want to mess with this guy. Is that how your husband is too?
Yes.
Okay, perfect. Because he's just kind of he's making me feel energetically like that he was a strong, physically strong person, but like almost stocky, but just, I want to say strong and tough, like old school. That's how I feel with him. And I just feel like there's kind of a mindset with that. And I feel like it actually works for you because he's very protective, but he's like a guy's guy. You understand?
Yes.
And I have to tell you, the one thing he keeps telling me is that you're in good hands.
Okay.
You're in good hands. So he's making me feel... Now, did you lose, like, the ring or the wedding band or something?
Yeah, I did. I lost me and my husband both our wedding bands.
Got it. Okay. Because he's almost like just... Like, did you look around the house? Like, he's almost teasing. That's how I feel with him. He's like, are you sure? It's not in the closet? Like, he's just making me feel like... He's just making me feel like he was a jokester or he could really bust chops is what I'd want to say.
Yes. Yeah.
And I just have to tell you, like, he's really coming through strong here to let you know that he's really proud to have you as a daughter-in-law. And notice that I say that it's like he's living in the here and now because he is. And I feel like it's just important that you get this back to your husband. And just know that he comes through here and, like, he didn't miss a thing. He didn't miss a thing. I just keep hearing that over and over. Okay?
Okay.
Now, does your husband get, or do you have a tattoo of your husband, or your husband have a tattoo of his dad? I just keep seeing a tattoo related to someone else.
Well, I have a tattoo, but it's not related to anybody, you know, symbolic to anything. He has tattoos.
Is it on the wrist?
No, he has a tattoo of 9/11 for 9/11 on his arm, and my husband's dad plays
two
tattoos.
Okay, fair enough. Okay, then I'm sorry, I was a little bit off on that, but I just kept feeling like it was in honor, I guess, of someone else or of something else. Okay. And just know, he just keeps making me feel like, you know, he's a softie, so go easy on him. That's how he keeps making me feel. But I'll leave you with that, and I just wanted to let you know that he really was trying to come through, and his presence is really strong, and he just really wants you to get this back to your husband, and there's a big thank you, okay? So I'll leave you with that. Right. Thank you very much.
All right. Thank you, guys. Right.
Okay.
Bye.
Thank you, Nicole. Have a great night.
You too. All right. Bye.
Bye-bye. Okay. Off to our next caller. This would be caller 518. Hello, caller. Welcome to Speaking with Spirit with Kim and Drew. Who would you like to connect with? Yes, caller. Welcome to Speaking Spirit. How are you? Hello? Hello? Hello?
Hi, sorry.
That's okay. Are you there?
And no, I have to listen on the phone because I'm not able to connect to the internet through the phone. So I'm listening. So sorry about that.
Okay. Okay. I can't really hear you too well.
Yeah, I can't really hear you that well either.
Hold on. I'm sorry.
That's okay.
Yeah,
okay.
I would like to connect with Tom.
I'm sorry, connect with who?
Tom.
Mom?
Tom with a C. Tom.
Tom, okay.
Yeah.
Okay, just give me a second. Drew, do you mind if I take this?
No, go ahead.
Okay. Okay, would you understand this gentleman being quiet?
Yes.
Very quiet, very kind of, I don't want to say withdrawn. He's not withdrawn, but he's just, he feels a little bit on the taller side. Would you understand that?
Not with Tom.
Not with Tom? Okay.
No.
It could be somebody else that's coming through, but I have a gentleman here. He feels very quiet. He feels, I want to say, a little withdrawn, you know, and he likes to be by himself. He wears a tan jacket, like a short, like, I got this for somebody else the other day, so a stranger's coming in now, but I'm getting a tan windbreaker with tan pants. He wears glasses, and sometimes they slide off a little bit down the bridge of his nose. They're bigger frame glasses. He's talking to me about his, I'm feeling a chest issue with that, and a lot of people, you know, they have chest issues, but I'm getting that in particular. So I'm feeling like this was a sudden passing. Would you understand any of that information?
Some of it, yes.
Okay. This would not relate to Tom?
No.
Okay. Would this be father?
Part of it, yes.
Okay, because that's why I felt a father connection. Because when you said Tom, I was like, this isn't father. But but he's telling me he feels, again, he wants to call himself a nerd, is what I want to say, you know. Would you understand that about Dad?
Okay.
Would you understand that? Does that resonate?
Somewhat. Somewhat.
Okay, because he's showing me that, and he shows me that he did have some hair on his head, a little bit thinning as well. He shows me that he lives on a corner lot, because I'm feeling like there was a corner lot. That's what he shows me as well. And so I'm feeling very kind of suburban with him, and it feels as if that's – and I'm feeling a smaller community is where he is from as well. He shows me also that he was very much an animal lover too, and he makes me feel, even though he was very, very quiet, he makes me feel that he was very, very attached to his family as well. Would you understand that about him?
Yes.
Okay. And he wants to say that he didn't express himself that much around you. Is that it was very, very hard to kind of converse with him sometimes. He kept things to himself. But he wants to say that he appreciates you going to the He appreciates you doing errands for him because he's making me feel that you did a lot of errands for him, especially like a little bit later on. I don't feel that he had lived a really, really extended life. So I'm not. I don't want to bring him to his 80s or anything. Would you understand that?
No, he died later on.
Oh, he did.
Okay.
Oh,
he
did die close to 80.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Well, all right.
Yeah.
But there was something.
He should have lasted longer.
Okay. Okay. But would you understand the rest of the information that I gave you?
Most all of it, absolutely.
Okay, great. He's also giving a salute to somebody that just entered the military. So he's making me feel like, if you don't know about this yet, I feel like it will be coming down the road. But he wants to give a salute to somebody that just got into the military or maybe, again, just got into the military. So I feel this is grandson that just entered the military. Very, very proud man, too, and very proud of his own accomplishments, I have to say. He makes me feel like he was a self-made man. But he does feel educated in a way as well. He's very, very proud of that fact, but he is not cocky about it, and he's very humble. So, Drew, do you have anything?
No, I think you said it all.
Okay.
Is
so,
Jill?
Darling,
thank you.
You're
is this
quite
Jill?
Welcome.
Yeah.
Hi, Jill.
Well,
I thought it was. That's why I didn't want. I'm glad Kim took it. No, thanks so much for
absolutely.
Calling, Jill.
Thank you.
Thank you, Jill.
Thanks.
It just hit me now as she said something at the end of that conversation. I'm like, I know this voice. And then I see it's a 518 number up by me. And the last four digits, I'm like, I know her. So, but yeah, no, I think you did a great job.
Thank you.
Yeah, we only have a few minutes left. Do you want to wrap it up or should we take one more? I don't know if we can.
It's really up to you. We can.
All right, so let's do one more. Is it the? Can we do the 520?
We have 4 minutes, so
wow.
Take it away,
you know
my
what?
Darling. Okay.
That'll be really tough to do.
It will. It will.
Yeah, so look, so thank you so much for calling, everybody. And the 520 number, I know you've been on hold for about 6 minutes if you want to try back next time. So, but look, I just want to say to everyone participating in the chat room and calling in and listening, we really appreciate it. We really appreciate it. And hopefully you can learn something from the beginning of the shows. I know everyone's really interested in the readings, but I think some of the topics we're going to cover are really interesting. And I think Kim and I share a really, I don't want to say unique perspective, but definitely a shared perspective from a medium who works in this field. And I think it's important that, you know, people can hear this.
I think it is unique because I do think that everybody kind of really, when you think about it, generally speaking, in a whole, people do believe in some of the darker side. I don't believe that. I'm not saying they dwell in it. You know, I'm not saying they practice it, but, you know, again, they kind of cave into their fear is what I want to say. And again, I want to tell everybody, this is our own belief system. You do not have to believe what we believe in. We are just passing on, you know, whatever knowledge that we have gained through our own experience. So that's basically it.
Yeah, and again, thank you for listening to Speaking Spirit. And you can find Kim at kimgriffinmedium.com. and facebook.com/Kim Griffin Evidential Medium. And you can find me at drewcalley.com, Calley's with a C, A-L-I, or facebook.com/psychicmediumdrewcalley. And you could call either one of us for readings or for events, et cetera. And again, we thank you so much for listening to Speaking Spirit.
Thank you very much, everybody. Have a great weekend. Bye-bye.